I'm sure some of you in your homes have a barometer. A barometer. We had one in our home when we were growing up. And Dad every now and then would tap this long, fancy looking thing in the hallway. A barometer. An instrument which measures the atmosphere or the air pressure. And it would have this dial on it that would more or less tell you what the weather is or what it's likely to be. Well, the commandment we come to in God's Word this morning is a little bit like a spiritual barometer. You can tell what sort of atmosphere is prevailing in a Christian life by looking at their life and what they do with the fourth commandment. This is the longest and the most detailed of all the commandments. It's one of only two set in positive form. The fourth and the fifth commandments, they tell us what to do. The other eight tell us what not to do. And undoubtedly, this is the most controversial of all the ten. I would reckon that more has been written on the fourth commandment than on the other nine put together. Today it's under immense attack, not just by the unbelieving world, we should expect that, and not merely by the professing church, we might expect that also, but it's also being attacked from within the heart of the Christian church itself, by Christians, Bible believers, people born again who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're attacking the fourth commandment. And the result is that Christians today are increasingly confused about what they believe about the Lord's day. And we need more than ever, friends, if we're Christians at all, to be reinforced in our hearts and minds and to be persuaded afresh about the blessedness and the usefulness of this day. We need to armour our hearts and our minds. And so we want to ask this morning, what does the Bible say about the Sabbath day? What does God say about the Lord's day? I found it quite difficult this week in preparing this address because there is so much to say. And I want to say four things this morning, and I trust we'll know clarity and understanding as we consider this fourth commandment. Firstly, the Lord's Day is for remembering. The Lord's Day is for remembering. When it comes to the whole controversy amongst Christians over this commandment, the opening word is profoundly significant. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day. In other words, the Sabbath day isn't being invented here at the giving of these commandments. It isn't something that's only for the Israelites. No, if we can cast our minds back, many of us, to about a year ago when we were studying the early chapters of Genesis, we remember that in Genesis 2, after God had created the heavens and the earth, it was then that God established the Sabbath day. And what we have now in the Ten Commandments is God giving to this day a concrete written status. He's impressing upon his people that he has already established this. You are to remember this day, he said. So it's not something new. And they're to keep remembering it. It's not a one-off remembering spoken here, but it's a remembering every week. And friends, it's something we need to remember also. Surely more than ever in history, we need to remember the Lord's Day. I know that many of you, your life from Monday to Saturday is frazzled and hurried. And often you are hassled. You have very little time and you're distracted and you're anxious and you're busy. And most Christians just can't have a sustained time to think about the things of God. Life is faster now than it was 50 years ago. Is it not faster than it was 5 years ago? And many of you are finding that your work is becoming more and more invasive. There is increasing demands placed upon your evenings, and you have little time to remember God. Friends, thank God for this day. God is so very kind to give you a whole day to remember Him. Let me suggest two specific things we're to remember on this day. Firstly, remember God, your great Creator. Remember God, your great Creator. We're to remember that not only has God created this day, but He has created us. And therefore we have dignity, and we have meaning, and we have identity. On the Lord's Day, we're to remember that we're not just a cog in a vast machine. We're not simply a number on a pay slip, but we have been made and planned and brought into being by the living God Himself. And we belong to the One who made the heavens and the earth. God is saying, stop and remember that. Don't we need to do that, friends? Stop and have our minds refocused. Have them recalibrated. Have them brought in tune and in sync with the fact that God is our Creator. And the Lord's Day should shout out to us, you matter. You have value. You have dignity. You were made by the Creator God. We're to remember creation. Second thing we're to remember is Christ, your great Saviour. Remember Christ, your great Saviour. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's quite interesting. Moses is speaking to the Israelites and he again gives the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, you have another list of the Ten Commandments. And he gives a further reason for the fourth commandment. He says in Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. And then he says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe this day. In other words, every Sabbath day was to be a reminder to the Israelites of their salvation, of how God stepped in and rescued them from slavery in Egypt. Every Lord's Day they were to remember it. Friends, every Lord's Day we are to remember our great Saviour. We're to remember what God has done for us in redemption. We're to remember that blood was spilled that we might be free. A Saviour rose from the dead on a Sunday. A Saviour appeared to His disciples on a Sunday. The Holy Spirit came down on the church on a Sunday. And each Lord's Day we're to stop and remember that. The Lord's Day is for remembering. Remembering creation and redemption. And let's be careful, because God is speaking of more than just using our memories. Husbands, if your wife asks you at the close of a day, did you remember it was our anniversary today? It's not good enough to say, oh yes, I remembered it up here. No, man, it takes flowers and a card, maybe a gift, maybe dinner, to truly remember an anniversary. In a similar way, remembering the Lord's Day, it's much more than just a mental activity. So let's think secondly what that involves. The Lord's Day, secondly, is for keeping holy. Firstly, the Lord's Day is for remembering. Secondly, it's for keeping holy. Verse 8 of Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Notice, it is already a holy day. We just have to keep it holy. Genesis 2 verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now many of you, I hope, will know what the word holy means. Holy, it is an essential word for your Christian vocabulary. Holy, it means set apart, separate, distinct from the others, different, not commonplace. The Lord's Day is a holy day, therefore it's different, it's distinct, it's unique from all the others. It's not the day in which we do what we commonly do on the other days. It's for keeping holy. Well, how do we keep the Lord's Day holy? Well, at the risk of sounding like a Pharisee, I have a list of do's and don'ts this morning. One don't and four do's. The Lord's Day is for keeping holy. Let's think of some do's and don'ts. Firstly, don't be a Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. The Pharisees had tens of thousands of rules regarding the Sabbath day, and most of them were pretty ridiculous. Let me mention a couple. Pharisees weren't allowed to leave an egg out in the sun in case it cooked on the Sabbath. Unnecessary work. Or if a hen laid an egg on the Sabbath, you couldn't eat that egg because that counted as the hen working. Now, they aren't all about eggs, but that gives a sample of how ridiculous and how detailed many of their rules were. Friends, don't be a Pharisee. Don't suck the life out of the Lord's Day. That's what they did. They took away the Pharisees. They took away all the enjoyment. They didn't make it an exciting day. They didn't make it a special day. It became a burden for the people. It was like a great weight weighing the people down. That challenge, I think, comes especially to parents this morning. Parents, don't make the Lord's Day a burden for your children. Don't take the enjoyment out of the day. Certainly, there are things you won't want them to do, and there are things that you will want them to do. But I would encourage you to try and be imaginative. We should work with our children, helping them to understand and enjoy the Lord's Day. So don't be a Pharisee. Secondly, do meet with other believers. Do meet with other believers. We read in Luke 4:16, Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. It was Christ's custom to go to worship on the Lord's Day. He was in the habit of being at public worship. Friends, so should we. Surely, in keeping the Lord's Day holy, first and foremost, that means being at public worship. The only thing that should keep us from church on the Lord's Day, apart from genuine works of necessity and mercy, genuine works, the only thing that should keep us is illness. Not tiredness, not busyness, not pleasure, not leisure, not holidays, not visits from friends and family. Bring them with you. Because church and meeting with your family, your church family, that should be the utmost priority on the Lord's Day. And friends, listen, God doesn't say keep half the Sabbath day holy. He doesn't say keep the morning of the Lord's Day holy. Keep the day. That's one of the reasons we have morning and evening worship here in this church. Two meetings arranged at times to suit everyone, 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m. What greater thing could a Christian do than praise the God of their salvation morning and evening? We get to do it, friends. Where would a saved sinner rather be? Where would you rather be than praising the God of your salvation? Either there's something profoundly wrong with our Christianity, or we're not Christians at all if we don't make every opportunity to be with the saints as they gather as the family of God. So do meet with other believers. Don't be a Pharisee. Do meet with other believers. Do prepare. We prepare for special days, don't we? Weddings, they involve weeks, months of preparation. New job, you prepare. Marathon runners, prepare for the big day. The Lord's Day is a special day, a holy day. We should prepare. We should prepare that we're not so exhausted on the Sabbath day that we can't be fed. Think of how a little child can sometimes be so exhausted, so tired, that they fall asleep in the high chair in the middle of their meal. Or they're sitting in your lap and they fall asleep. Friends, do we come to the Lord's Day suffering from lack of sleep? Do we come to worship with the intention of having a little nap? Richard Baxter, one of the Puritans, said this: go seasonably to bed that you may not be sleepy on the Lord's Day. Or another has said, the battle for blessing on the Sabbath is won or lost on a Saturday night. Do prepare for the Lord's Day. So we're keeping it holy. Don't be a Pharisee. Do meet with other believers. Do prepare. Do work hard the rest of the week. Do work hard the rest of the week. In a sense, that's where the Lord's Day being holy begins, working hard the other 6 days of the week. Exodus 20 verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. God expects us to work, friends. And that's for everyone, not just the people who get paid. That's for housewives, it's for retired people, it's for the disabled, it's for the unemployed. All of us are to do something useful with our time. Even if we don't earn an income, we need to glorify God in whatever we do, because we were made to work. The fourth commandment reminds us of that duty. So do work hard the rest of the week. And a final do in keeping God's day holy: do delight in the Lord's day. Do delight in it. We were reading from Isaiah 58. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, then you will find your joy in the Lord. There is an obligation to keep the Lord's day holy. It is a command after all. But we're not to do so in the sense of dry, unfeeling duty. So it's not a day to dig the garden, but it is a day to enjoy the garden. It's not a day to earn money for the family, but it is a day to enjoy the family. It's not a day to paint the house, but it is a day to enjoy the painted house. It's a day to cherish and delight in, friends. Do we delight in the Lord's day? Or, if we're honest, do we find it a drag? If so, the fault is not with the day itself, but it's with how we're spending it, friends. The Lord's Day is for keeping holy. It's for remembering. It's for keeping holy. Thirdly, the Lord's Day is for resting. resting. And rest is a clear purpose of the Lord's Day. We're not to work on the Lord's Day. Now, of course, this isn't an easy thing today. We live in a society where Sunday is just like every other day. But as Christians, friends, we're not called to live according to the beat of the society of our day. We're called to live according to the imperishable words of God our Saviour. We're not to capitulate to the spirit of our age. And the wisest and the best of fathers has directed us as his children how we're to live. He knows best. Now, there are some occupations, professions that are works of necessity and mercy, of course. And we have a number in our congregation with such professions. But there are lots of jobs that aren't necessary on the Lord's Day. And I know it's a struggle for some Christians who have perhaps been out of work for some time. They need a job and they're asked to work on the Sabbath. It's hard. I know it's hard to say, I won't, because God's word says I shouldn't. What I would say is, trust God's word over what the world is saying to you. Take God's word first and foremost, and his commands first and foremost. Don't work. Friends, we need to pray for each other in this regard. It's becoming increasingly difficult for Christians to be able to rest on the Lord's Day. Young people, children, that applies to you. You're not to do your homeworks. You're not to do your studies on the Lord's Day. You are to rest from your work. This isn't God being stingy. This is a blessing. One whole day where you don't have to think about homeworks. You don't have to think about projects or assignments. The Lord's Day is for resting. However, this rest isn't a rest of idleness. It isn't idleness. After all, we rest because God rested after the work of creation. Do you think God was being idle? Do you think God was lazing around doing absolutely nothing? Of course not. A day of rest isn't to be a day that's slept away, friends. Now, sometimes you may be so tired from your week of work that you do need a snooze or a nap. The Lord's Day is a blessing that way. But don't sleep it away. It's a rest that is to free us up for doing other things, honourable things to God. And so this one thing is very clear. God says you should rest from the work of your week. And if he says we should rest, that's what we must do, friends. Rest. The Lord's Day is for remembering. It's for keeping holy. It's for resting. And fourthly, the Lord's Day is for anticipating. It's for anticipating. Because the Lord's Day points us to the eternal Sabbath. In Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10, we read, "There remains then a Sabbath rest." That's an interesting phrase. A Sabbath rest for the people of God. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his." Heaven is called a Sabbath rest. When we die, if you're a Christian, friends, we will enter our eternal rest, our work complete, and we go to our great Sabbath rest in heaven. And so every Lord's Day should be a pointer to that. Every Lord's Day, every Sunday should be a picture of that. What do? Well, we worship. We meet with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's a shadow of what heaven will be like. Friends, let me say, if you find the Lord's Day to be a drudge, you would find heaven to be a nightmare. How is that your spiritual barometer faring, friends? What greater thing would a blood-bought, forgiven sinner want to do than join with his brothers and sisters and say, let's praise the Lord, let's worship him, let's hear his word, let's come in the evening of the Lord's day and do it all over again. How thankful we should be for the Lord's day. How we need to hear this commandment, friends, because none of us have kept it as we ought. We must confess and repent of our sin. I wonder, has God been speaking to you about a specific thing that you need to be changing in your life when it comes to the Lord's day? Friends, don't put off changing that. Make the decision here and now. Be specific. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this different. We're going to talk about this as our family together. Husbands, fathers, parents, are there practices that you need to change in your family to obey this commandment? Breaking this commandment in the Old Testament deserved the death penalty. It still does. The only reason we're breathing, friends, is because the Lord of the Sabbath suffered the death penalty for us. Jesus was treated as a Sabbath breaker that we might not be. How is the barometer of your Christian life faring? I will never delight in this day if we're not believers. But friends, if we are, if we have a heart that loves the Lord, surely it will leap for joy at the prospect of a day with him, a day of liberty, a day of rest, a day of worship, a day of joy, a day of heaven on earth. My prayer for myself and for you all is that that might be our experience this day and every Lord's day. Amen.